Right, I'm joined by Heba Mureya from Human Rights Watch. Heba, what's the latest on the arrests in Cairo?
I think one thing that's been of serious concern to us over the past few days is the increasing number of targeted arrests, both of foreign journalists and Egyptian journalists, which we've heard quite a bit about in the foreign media as individual foreign reporters get beaten up and arrested by the military, but also increasingly starting Thursday, arrests of human rights defenders and of youth activists. And these arrests have been very targeted. The military went into the human rights organization that has been providing legal aid and documenting arrests in connection with the protests since January 25th and before. And they found there were 28 human rights defenders there, Egyptian activists and lawyers from different organizations, and five internationals, one of my colleagues from Human Rights Watch, two people from Amnesty International. So that was very strategic. And then they arrested later that evening nine young activists who were on their way back from a meeting with Baradei and were instrumental in organizing some of the protests over the past period of time. They've all been released now. The last of them were released late last night. But I think this kind of short-term arbitrary arrest is very worrying in terms of things to come, because this is precisely the sort of behavior that state security investigations used to rely on to crack down upon activism in Egypt.
And you say it's the army that's behind this?
Yes, it was military police in both cases. They were accompanied by an officer from state security investigations, but it was the military that was doing the arresting, and they were taken into military custody.
So much for the army siding with the protesters.
Yes, I think it's become increasingly clear now that the military is not on the side of the protesters. The military provided security, and I think after the violence that protesters had experienced at the hands of Ministry of Interior officers, from Tuesday to Thursday, there were mass arrests. At least 1,400 people were arrested. There was a lot of beatings. And then on Friday, there was obviously also the shootings, the use of tear gas in a reckless manner and at too close range, which resulted in many deaths over those days. So protesters initially greeted the military with open arms. But I think what's become clear as these arrests increase, and it's not just of the activists, it's also of people trying to bring in blankets to Tahrir Square after curfew, or in some cases, people leaving Tahrir Square after curfew, sometimes accompanied by a foreigner, so the neighborhood patrol gets suspicious, hands them over to the military, and the military then arrests them for 14 hours. And during the interrogations, it's becoming increasingly clear how the military is against the protests. The military still sees Mubarak as their commander and still sees the calls for his resignation as illegitimate. And yesterday, again, they were proactively trying to get the protesters to leave. So yes, the military is not on the side of the protesters.
And what's happening to these people once they're arrested? I mean, how long are they being held for? Are they being interrogated? What's happening?
So far, most of these arrests and detentions have been short-term. The longest I've documented was 3 days. In many cases, they're much shorter detentions, sometimes 10 hours, 14 hours. In the case of the three-day arrests, the military, under the Code of Procedure, is supposed to bring detainees before a military prosecutor within 48 hours. So they weren't following procedure there. They were also denying lawyers access to any of the detainees. So all of these people who've been arrested, their families haven't been able to figure out where they are, and neither have their lawyers managed to gain access.
And what about their treatment?
Their treatment, for the most part, we have had some reports of beatings, but not systematically. In some cases, lawyer friends, lawyers that I work with who've been arrested told us that they themselves were treated with respect, and in the group of the 28 human rights defenders that I was talking to you about, that none of them were beaten. But these people, while in detention, saw the military beating or kicking other detainees. In many cases, these detainees seemed to be poorer in some cases, the military suspected them of being looters or of being thugs. But in cases where I think the military felt that there would be less repercussions, this is where there was a higher risk of abuse at their hands.
And do you think that the number of arrests are going to increase over the next few days?
I think it very much depends on whether some political resolution can be reached, because the military has already committed that it will not use force and will not shoot protesters. So the alternatives that are open to it are either trying to convince protesters to leave, which is their tactic of the past couple of days, making access more difficult and even senior military officers going down and trying to convince people. That seems to be failing because protesters are still very focused on their main demand, which is the resignation of the president. I think we see these short-term arrests as part of that deterrent strategy to try and discourage people from going back to the square. I think if there isn't some movement politically, we may see them resorting to an increase of these types of arrests.
But the fact that they're negotiating today may be a more hopeful sign, at least in terms of arrests.
Well, I hope so, and I hope also by publicizing that this practice is not only illegitimate, but it's also very dangerous, especially at a moment where the military is calling for calm and for a return to the negotiation table. And I think it's also important to stress that the protest started off because of police abuse. I mean, there were many other issues, corruption and poverty that came up, but the initial protest was held on police day and was first called for by a Facebook group set up because of a torture victim. So the military needs to be very careful moving forward, and I think this is where international pressure is a huge role. The West may want stability in Egypt, but if we're getting the military in power, there needs to be strong assurances that the abusive practices by the Ministry of Interior will not continue.
Okay, Heather, thanks very much.
Thank you.